walking out to the mound with his hands in his back pocket, and I know what's going through his mind. You know, do I take my best pitcher out who's tired to bring in someone who may not be tired but may not be as good as my best pitcher is tired? What do I do? You know, so I get to the mound, I walk out there, and I listen. I said, Gil, this is exactly the situation that Casey told us about. And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean? And I said, Casey said that if you're in the bottom of the ninth and you got the bases loaded and nobody out, left-hand pitcher pitching to a right-hand hitter, first pitch, you throw a belt buckle high on the inside corner, and it's going to look so good to him that he's going to pop it up in the third base coaching box. And he said, then the next hitter comes up, you kind of turn it over a little bit, throw it low and outside, and he's going to ground it to short, to second, to first, ball game's over, you win 1-0. And Gil looked at me and he smiled. He said, yeah, I remember him saying that. He said, Claude, go get him. Claude, Harry Bright was the hitter. This is unbelievable. First pitch, belt buckle high, fouls it off, and third base coaching box, Don Zimmer. Moose Gowron comes up, hits a ground ball to Brinkman, to Cotier, to first, double play, ball game's over, we win 1-0. That's when Claude Osteen thought I was a genius. But could you imagine that happening?
That's great.
That's unbelievable.
And then he went on later with the Dodgers, right?
He got traded for Howard, I believe.
So out of all these teams, what was the closest you ever came to postseason?
Giants, 59. And also with the Cardinals in 57. We went into Milwaukee last series of the season. I believe it was a four-game series. We had to win all four. Well, we won the first one, we lost the second.
And then on that Baltimore team, that was a pretty good team. You got to play with a fairly young Brooks Robinson and Boo Powell.
Yeah.
And
Ron Hanson.
The guy who later went on to be a hitting guru, Charlie Lau.
Charlie Lau.
Of course, he batted 187, I guess.
You don't have to be a great hitter be a good instructor, right? And you're obviously a great instructor.
Seems like a lot of catchers go on to become.
But you look at that team and... Dick Williams was on that ball club.
Mm-hmm.
Whitey Herzog was on that ball club. These guys were good managers. And that was my ambition, to be a manager.
Really?
Yeah. And I was told by Al Dark that if I could get my release, he would hire me as a coach for the Giants. And I wanted to get back here and be with my family. So I asked George Selkirk, the general manager of Washington. I said, George, I said, I'd sure like to get my release. You know, I've been promised a job, and he gave me my release. Well, turned out that Dark and Stoneham were at odds that I wasn't aware of, and Alvin couldn't hire me. So I called back and told him, I said, you know, told him what happened. And he said, well, we'd love to have you. George Selkirk said, we'd love to have you as a coach. He says, let me talk to Gil. He talked to Gil, and Gil and I had talked a lot. We were very close friends. And I went back there as a coach for Gil. And the strangest thing happened. The Yankees won the pennant that year. And Barrow was the manager. The Cardinals won the pennant.
Right.
Johnny Keene was the manager. And both of them got fired.
Right.
Keene later on went over to take the Yankee job. And that really weighed heavily on my mind, because this is what I wanted to do. And two guys reaching the pinnacle of success both got fired. At the same time, I was offered a job with Volkswagen. And weighing everything, I decided to leave baseball and take this job at Volkswagen. Selkirk called me. He said, I can't believe you're doing this. this. Hodges called me and said, I can't believe you're doing this. Well, it turned out great. It really did, because Volkswagen treated me real, real well. I was with them for 29 years. I retired from Volkswagen of America. And
what was your title with them?
I was the National Dealer Relations Manager. And anytime you got the word relations, whether it be public relations or community relations or whatever it is, most of the public don't look at that as, they look at it as a shake hands, how are you, nice guy type of job, which in many cases it is, and in many cases very important. Well, my job was, had a great deal more depth to it than that. I was the ombudsman between the senior management at Volkswagen of America and Germany and the U.S. dealer organization. And had a lot of responsibilities, and but again, I really enjoyed it.
My cousin works for Volkswagen in Cranberry, New Jersey.
Really, what does he do?
She is the she travels all over the United States, teaching people how to use the computer system to order parts.
What's her name?
Duffy, Pat Duffy.
She's could well be after my, I don't know. I don't recognize that name. But at any rate, I really
Is Cranberry, New Jersey, their headquarters? Or?
They were in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey.
Oh.
Then they moved to Michigan. But
so you get a pension from baseball, right?
Yes.
Is it pretty healthy?
Yes.
It's more than you ever made?
Yes. Yep. My pension totals more than I ever made as a player.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's great. That's great.
Yeah, and then I get a pension from Volkswagen. And then I get a pension from the government.
Social Security.
So it's worked out real well.
That's great. I was going to, let's see, I'm trying to fill in the blanks here now. What, so you hit a home run off Spahn. Do you know, did you hit a home run off any other major, any other Hall of Famers?
Yeah, Bob Gibson.
You remember that? I'm sure
my son was a good ball player. He played at Homestead High School, and then he got a 4-year scholarship to University of Arizona. Played on a national championship team. And one time, Arizona was up here playing Stanford, and we had a big bunch of them over here for a meal. I guess some of the players asked my son if I had a scrapbook, and I never liked to get it out, but it was in terrible shape. It was not well kept. And I said, yeah, but he said, they want to look at it. So they're in the living room in there. I heard one of them, no way. Well, a game that Marichal pitched, one of his early games, first year, he beat Gibson 7-2, and I went 4-for-5 off of Gibson.
Wow.
And they thought that was kind of...
That's pretty good.
Pretty nifty.
Did you ever hit any Grand Slams?
No. Nope.
Did you ever hit one against, like, Koufax or Drysdale? Or?
No, I obviously didn't hit Koufax very well. Drysdale, I hit the ball hard off him. He's a low ball pitcher also, and I hit him hard, but don't recall any home runs. Let's see, hit two off Spahn, Bunning, Robin Roberts.
You get 4 Hall of Famers right there, including Gibson. What pitcher do you think you batted the best against career-wise?
I hit Bob Friend very well. I hit very well in the Pittsburgh ballpark. Well, when you have a 233 or 34 lifetime batting average,
you're not owning many people. But I thought maybe there was one guy that you just had his number.
There may have been, but I don't
know. Was there anybody, maybe Koufax is in this group, that you just got up there and you were hopeful? I mean,
No, not at all. I always felt confident when I went to home plate, always. And hit the ball well. A lot of players, you know, come up to me after my career was over. I see them somewhere and you know, they would say, man, for a guy that, I mean, you hit the ball hard. Could never figure out why you didn't have a higher average. Well, I don't know why, but I did hit the ball pretty hard. But let's see. You start off with the Giants, Philadelphia. Hit Roberts decently. The Koufax, you know, he had a great curveball. Nobody ever talked about his curveball. And I knew I couldn't hit the curveball if I looked at, you know, the fastball and curveball. And I said, if you throw me three curveballs that are strike one, strike two, strike three, I'll just say thank you. I'll go sit down. All I looked for was a fastball. I'd take the curveball. And, you know, I got a few hits off of him, but I didn't make much money as far as
succeeding. So when you saw the rotate, when you saw it come out of his hand and you see it was a curve, you just took it. You wouldn't swing. Because usually when you get a guy who's a real fireballer, they say the curve is relief. You let guys off the hook throwing a curve or an off-speed pitch because they can.
He had a great curveball. I mean, you talk about a curveball that went from 12 to 6. His went from 12 to 6. He's great. He's the best pitcher I ever faced. And Marichal's the best pitcher I ever caught.
Did you ever hit against any knuckleballers?
Oh, I caught all the... I went to Baltimore because of Hoyt Wilhelm.
Oh.
You know, Triantis got hurt. And they didn't have anybody that could catch the knuckleball. And I had caught Wilhelm on two other ball clubs. So that was one of the reasons I went to Baltimore, was to catch him. But I caught Jim Davis. I caught Dutch Leonard. I caught Hoyt Wilhelm. I caught Willie the Nuck Ramsdale. Had a game in against the Angels where Wilhelm and I were in the bullpen and they were bringing Wilhelm in. You know, ninth inning, we're winning 1-0, bases loaded, nobody out, and here comes Wilhelm and I into the ballgame.
And so they took the catcher out.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah. And I did not catch one ball. They get here, get here.
But you didn't let any fast balls go by.
And the umpire was Dusty Boggs, I'll never forget. I'd walk out and I'd pick the ball up, throw it back, and I'd turn around and Dusty would be back there. He'd go. The ball was just dancing everywhere. He struck out all three guys. The last out I dropped and I just stepped on. Bale was the general manager. You know, all the players and the manager and the general manager didn't run out to Wilhelm. They all came to me and congratulated me, you know, because
I didn't let any of them get by me. But, oh, what a night. He had the best.
Now, did you use the oversized mitt that Gus used?
Tried it, but I couldn't use it. I couldn't maneuver.
It was so big. It looked like a huge pillow.
I would have to hold one end of it here and kind of throw it. And, you know, I lost all my softness. And I used a bigger mitt, but not that big one.
Now, do you regret that you didn't stick around as a coach and try to get into managing more?
No. I had a very successful... I had reservations about it because of the relationships and the excitement of baseball. But I had a great career, you know, in the business world with folks like that.
Now, you said that Dusty had you come in for three spring trainings. Did you do anything to that before, coaching?
No. This was after I retired from Volkswagen. And I went to Giant Fantasy Camp, you know, for like 12, 13 years in a row.
What are those like?
Oh, they're fun. They're fun. They really are. You know, all these guys come in there and at various skill levels. Very few real skillful, a whole lot of them down here not very skillful, but wannabes, and you always wondered what it was like to be a big league player, and they go to the fantasy camp, and of course you got Tom Howard and Davenport and McCormick and myself some of the more current players that retired, and got Gary Matthews and the guy that managed the
Brindley.
I mean, it was a good group of guys, and these campers, anywhere from 90 to 150, they just couldn't get enough.
They sit around and sit around and talk baseball with you.
Like what we're talking about.
Really?
Yeah, it was great. Great experience.
It must be neat when somebody walks up to you out of nowhere and says, I remember this, and when you did that. The fact that, you know, you're in these people's memories forever, pretty much.
It is neat.
You know?
It's unbelievable. I had something happen just the other day that was incredible. I still get fan mail, which really surprises me that people still remember, but with the baseball cards out there. But at any rate, I got this fan letter, and it was, the letter says, you know, I'm 15 years old. I'm the great-grandson of a player that played at the same time you played. His name was Elrun Rip Rapalski. Well, immediately, you know, I played against him. He was at the Cardinals when they had Rapalski and Jablonski and Bilko. And nice person. And he goes on to say, and my dad says I can't request any autographs without sending money. And here are three of my baseball cards in a plastic envelope with $15 in there.
That's a lot of money for a little kid.
Oh, and I couldn't believe it. And, you know, and I knew his grandpa, you know, he's really a nice guy. And I wrote him back a letter and certainly sent the $15 back to him and told him how much I admired him, you know, for having the interest in baseball to send these cards to me to autograph. And please, I'm returning the $15 and I want you to buy something that you like. You know, but isn't that amazing?
That's great. What a neat kid.
Amazing. That was just last week.
Wow. So who were the catchers that you got to work with in spring training with the Giants for Dusty?
Well, unfortunately, not any of them are, well, no, I shouldn't say that. The catcher that's going to be their first string catcher.
Torrey Alba?
Yeah, Torrey Alba. I worked with him for 3 years. And Mirabelli, that's now with Boston. And Maine.
Brett Maine?
Yeah, that was at Kansas Maine. City. He just got, he's a free agent this year, too. And some of their... Oh, Johnson.
Brian Johnson.
Yeah.
Stanford. Yeah, what happened to him? He was good.
I don't know.
Where'd he go?
I never heard the story. I never, why he left the Giants. Hmm. He crossed wires with somebody.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was Dusty. I don't know if it was the pitching coach. I don't know who it was, but he crossed wires with somebody because he wasn't, he was a pretty good player.
Well, that one year, I think Dusty's first year when they made the big run.
Yeah,
he hit a couple.
Run.
Yeah, he hit the home run.
Yeah, but I enjoyed that, and I've worked with some of the minor league catchers. And
are you a Giants fan?
Is that team you all follow? All the way.
You probably won't like me. I'm a Dodger fan.
No.
I grew up in LA. So.
That's okay. I understand. I have a son-in-law.
Territorial, you know, geographic.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, if you had to look back on your whole career and everything you've done, what would you say?
First off, I'm very grateful and feel very blessed that I was able to realize a boyhood ambition of being a Major League Baseball player. I often think of that, how fortunate I was when you see that pyramid where there's just, you know, millions of kids at the bottom of that pyramid that want to get to the top. And as you go up that pyramid, there's so many people that fall off of it. And to be able to climb all the way to the top and stay there as long as I stayed, I feel very, very blessed to have been able to do that. And I have great memories of players that I played with, teammates, still do. My closest friends are ex-teammates. You know, Davenport and I play golf together, McCormick and I play golf together, Rasu and I play golf together. And I don't feed off of people coming up and reminiscing about the past, But it's nice. It's nice. Right there, that drawing, the pencil drawing of me in a giant uniform.
Wow.
That was done by a guy that's a very good artist. That was a fantasy camper by the name of Tom Rodriguez.
Oh, does he do other stuff too?
Yes.
He does like Niners? Yes. And I've seen
well,
it.
He's done yeah. the old black players.
I've seen his stuff. I've seen
but
his stuff before.
All of a sudden, one day that arrives. It was crated in a big wooden crate. He had to use a crowbar to take the thing apart. And in it is, he had taken a snapshot or something of me, and he did that pencil drawing. And it says, "Thanks for the memories." You know, Tom Rodriguez.
And you had no idea that he was drawing you.
No, no. But, you know, you meet people, and, you know, it's just...
Did you ever get to meet any presidents?
Yes.
Who'd you meet?
Met Eisenhower. I have an autographed ball from Eisenhower. I met John F. Kennedy. I met Hubert Humphrey. I met Nixon. That's an interesting thing with Nixon. Well, each of them are interesting, but I met Kennedy before he became president. I had a friend that went to Harvard, and we were walking down the street to go to the college game they have in Chicago against the pros.
The All-Star, the college All-Stars against
yeah.
them.
We were walking to that, and all of a sudden my friend, he says hello to this person, and the person turns out to be John F. Kennedy. And as we walked away, he says, "Someday he'll be president of the United States."